My name is Dale Roy Crockett. I'm acting as an agent in the University of Florida Oral History Department. I'm at the home of my dad, Dr. Roy E. Crockett. Today's date, July 24th, 2009. First of all, would you state your full name, please?
Roy.
That's good. You don't have to talk into it, just right there.
Roy E. Crockett.
Where were you born?
Warren County, Ohio.
What date and place?
4th February 1920.
If you move around, where did you mainly grow up?
In southwestern Ohio.
Any siblings, names, and their dates of birth?
You got one older brother, born 1917, December 17th, I believe. December 17, 1917.
Yes, sir. And your sister?
Sister now deceased, born 1921, January 23rd.
Okay, Dad, we're going to ask you a few questions about when you're growing, while you're growing up and before the war. Could you tell me the names of your parents and approximate birth dates if known?
Father John Crockett, who died when I was one. My mother was Mabel McCandless Crockett, who died when I was 12.
Do you know where they were from, the counties and
same
states?
Same area,
okay. Where were their parents from, do you know?
I don't know.
Doesn't know, okay. But you are of Scotch-Irish or Scottish ancestry?
Scottish.
Scotch-Irish, okay. But what did your parents do when you were growing up?
Farming,
okay.
And housewiving.
Okay. Did they own their own house or rent?
I don't think so.
Okay. Who were your main caretakers if your parents were absent?
Well, after they died, we went in scattered directions. I went to live with my aunt and uncle, Lottie Stokes, in Waynesville.
Waynesville, Ohio, that would be. Do your grandparents, or did any of your grandparents, aunts, or uncles live with you at the time you were growing up?
No.
What kind of things did you do in your free time when you're growing up, like play, sports, hunt, stuff like that?
You were a kid thing. We batted cans around and played kid games. About all there was.
Okay, very good. Did you have any pets you can recall?
No.
Okay. Did you travel anywhere in your childhood? Did you remember to visit relatives or on vacations?
Didn't travel. Doubt if I was out of Warren County.
Okay. Were there any memorable natural landmarks, such as a body of water, unusual feature of the land where your home was?
No.
What was the prominent industry where you lived?
Farming. Okay.
Was the weather a factor in how your family lived? An example like farming, droughts, winter, stuff like that.
Yeah, farming is always subject to weather, yeah.
Sir. Where did you go to grammar school? Name, when attended?
I went to start at Red Lion. Went to Springboro. Then Franklin, Ohio. These are all Warren County.
Do you remember the years where you attended grammar school?
No.
How about high school? You remember the date?
Went to Waynesville.
And the date of your graduation?
37.
What was your favorite subjects and your least favorite subjects in high school?
Well, I liked school, so I liked math. I liked history especially.
And what were your least favorite subjects and why was that?
I didn't have any least favorite.
Okay. Did you play any sports in school?
No.
Any idea what profession or trade you wanted to go into and what inspired you to choose that in your high school years?
Not especially.
Any people in your growing up years that had a great influence on you, and how did they influence you?
A couple of teachers. One in social science. One was a principal, or one was a superintendent of my high school. Those two, yeah, more or less, favorites, I guess.
Okay.
During
the Great Depression, how affected your family and neighbors? How well did your family weather the Great Depression? And did you lack basic necessities like food or shelter?
Like everybody else, we eked out what we could. There wasn't much. We grew our own food in the garden. No one was working, so everybody helped each other.
Okay. Did you have normal amenities in your home when you were growing up, like running water and electricity?
No.
Did you have a family car?
No.
Anything unusual about your growing up years that were different from most kids?
You have enough to eat? Do you have enough to eat?
What was that one?
Anything unusual about your growing up years that was different from most kids?
I don't think so.
Did you have a radio? What programs did you listen to?
Didn't have a radio until I was in high school. And then you listened to the Moon River. It was a late night program.
It's scandalous.
You're supposed to be sleepy, but
Moon River.
And we watch news, people like this.
This question, did you read books for entertainment, and what kind of books did you like?
I read any kind of book I could find.
Do you like fiction, nonfiction, and just anything you could find? Were there any important annual community events where you grew up, such as fairs, stuff like that?
Fairs? County fairs are always important to rural population.
Okay. Okay, now we're going to move on to World War II. Did you have any relatives in the military, or anyone in your family knew of that who was a veteran of World War I?
I don't think so.
Do you remember, what was your awareness of war and impending U.S. involvement before Pearl Harbor?
Nobody wanted to get into it.
Where were you that day, and how did you hear about Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor?
Yes, sir.
It was a Sunday. I was home. I was in college, so I enlisted in the Naval Air Force. I went to Kansas City. I washed out, and I was on my way on the train on the way home the day of Pearl Harbor. That's how close I missed. Thank God, flying for the Navy. Because they don't know how to fly airplanes. They fly with tail down. Airplanes aren't supposed to fly tail down.
So when you were either inducted or drafted, what was your thinking about enlisting in military service?
Save America. All everybody, that was the patriotic age.
Okay.
So everybody chops down to the day after Pearl Harbor, everybody trotted down to the recruiting station.
When you were inducted, what branches of service did you choose and how? Town, state, etc.
Well, I was in the Navy Reserve, and then I got an Army Air. Army, at that time, the Air Force was a part of the Army.
And where did you sign up? What town, state?
Columbus. I was in school then.
You were school at Ohio State University?
Yeah.
Where did you do your basic training?
Ellingtonville.
And what state was that?
Texas.
Describe the process, like the classes you took, the time it took, and the expectations of where you'd be sent.
No, not particular. We took what was handed to us mainly.
And do you have any expectations about where you go?
No.
Which unit were you with and what they did? In other words, your unit's job description.
Well, I was in the Air Force. And eventually the Air Force split off from the Army Air Force into its own unit. I was a flying officer in navigation. That was it. I was taught navigation, and I was an active navigator.
Did you take any leave during training?
Leave?
What did you do on leave while you were training?
Well, I came home.
Came home, okay.
For a short time once a year, that's about it.
How long was the short time? Around 2 weeks or so?
A couple of weeks. Okay.
After your training, where were you sent first, and how did you get there? What mode of transportation?
After my training, I was sent to navigation school to instruct.
Was that by train?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, they shipped by train mostly at that time.
So when you arrived at your navigation training, do you have any particular remembrances of individual crew members and what they did in civilian life?
No, what fan I can.
Okay, could you give us the name of your airfield you were stationed at?
Hondo Army Air Base.
That was in Texas.
Texas, yeah.
Do you know how many planes, what types there were stationed at the field?
We had four groups. Probably had 100 planes each.
And the types of planes?
They flew all hours. They flew 50,000 hours a year.
And what types of planes were they?
Well, changing gravity. We used Beechcraft. And we used a Lockheed.
Okay.
Those two.
How important were fellow soldiers to you? You know, who did you rely on most as far as somebody,
well, your
part
crew
of your crew?
Well, you relied on everybody else. You mean,
was you, did you rely on the pilot the most?
Everybody working the same thing, come out alive.
Right. So you didn't rely on the pilot or anything anymore than anybody else? It was all a team.
No, you got to see a lot of pilots because in the group, they flew so many planes each day. Each group had so many pilots.
Okay.
You couldn't pick your pilot, in other words.
What would you say was the basic average age of your crew at that time?
About the same as I was, 20, 25 in that age.
Okay. How did you and others cope with the prospect of not returning from a flight?
Well, you did the best to avoid that thing. I suppose we thought about it, but we felt that with adequate training and good maintenance for airplanes, that's why the ground crews were so important. We would come back.
Okay.
Didn't dare think about the times you wouldn't come back.
Okay. Before you became a trainer, was there a specified amount of runs you had to go on before you became a trainer?
No. Well, that was just part of it. I trained navigation students, which you can have a day in the classroom and then the rest of the day in the air. In Hondo, of course, he had 330 flying days a year. He could fly almost any day of the year.
Okay. Did you ever have a choice of not going on flights?
No.
That you did. You had to do what they told you to.
Of course. Solid order.
Of course. Were there instances where it was hard to cope with what you noticed and viewed by some and others? In other words, did you lose any close friends?
Well, you know, we've got friends you work with, fellow instructors and so on, mm-hmm. and their families.
Could you please describe a typical day you went on assignment, how you woke up, time returning, the airfield and such?
Well, in training, they blew a bugle and you beat it out of bed and went out front and did some calisthenics and then did your clean up and your got your breakfast and reported to the classroom or the flight line.
You woke about what, 5:30 or so?
Oh yeah, 5.
5 o'clock, okay.
Very early.
Okay, you recall any close events or close calls or anything during this time in the planes?
A couple of times one time we had smoke in the cabin. We got back without any problem. That was about it. Okay. Wasn't shot at the time, no.
At that time, did you keep anything like logs, photos, or journals?
No.
At that time during your stay, your training, and after, did you remember attending any USO shows, where you saw any celebrities like Bob Hope, etc.?
No. That was mostly overseas. I saw a couple of USO shows there, but I don't remember who it was.
Okay. How did you hear about how the war is progressing, your main source of news, in other words, that time?
On the radio.
Okay. What was your basic mode of transportation those back home? Just letters or telegrams?
Mm-hmm.
And how were you paid? In cash or check?
Paid in cash, yeah. I think they all paid them in cash.
And you spent your pay on leave and saved some, sent back home, stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I had a family there. Okay. I was in Honda and stuff. All the time I was in navigation school.
Okay. How'd you spend your leave time?
At home.
Okay. Alrighty. Were there any women pilots in your
station?
Any women pilots stationed at your facility?
At the end of training, they brought in some WAC girls. And they called them WAFs. I think WAFs, WAFs, WAFs.
WAFs.
Women's Air.
WAC.
Like some of your
work, something.
WAC was Army. Were they ferry pilots?
Huh?
Were they ferry pilots?
And some of those girls came in and flew.
Yeah, they ferried the new planes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at any time were you stationed overseas at all, and where and when was that?
I would say overseas 44, 45 in Italy.
In Italy? And what town in Italy was your base closest to?
Cerignola. Okay. Cerignola, I think.
Yeah, it's very famous olives.
Okay, we're getting towards the end here. This went pretty quick. That's good. How did you hear about the atomic bomb in Hiroshima? What was your reaction to it at the time?
I would have been in Italy at the time. We all thought that, I don't think anybody thought about the morality of it really. They thought it was, we looked at it from the standpoint, if we could end the war in Japan, it would be a lot less lives lost, American and civilian.
So did anyone you knew or were stationed with have any knowledge about the atom bomb deal before Hiroshima?
No.
How many points did you have at the end of the war, and how long did you have to remain?
I don't remember. I was discharged immediately.
So you had adequate points. You must have had adequate points for discharge. Do you remember when you were discharged and what date it was? The day you got released?
No. Discharged from Fort Atterbury and south of Indianapolis, I remember that.
What did you plan to do after the war, and was this decision interrupted before the war? In other words, did you have these plans before the war?
I could finish my college. I had 3 years of college in before the war, so I'm back to finish it. And that was a degree in philosophy.
So you changed your major after the war?
No, I was in philosophy department. I was in philosophy in the Board of War. In a liberal arts college in philosophy.
Okay.
And then somewhere along the line I came across a student of mine that I taught. He had was shot down over, I don't know, Romania, I think. Was a prisoner of the Russians at that time. Was free, had a broken leg at the time, but somewhere I came across him immediately after the war, and he was interested in medical school, and I talked about it, and I had thought something about it before, but I was out of my reach.
He influenced your decision.
I worked in the office of the Arts College before the war, and the secretary there had talked me into applying for medical school. Which means I had to go back to in addition to going back to school, I had to pick up 2 years of chemistry. So I had, I first went back to school, I carried 30 hours a term, or semester, figured out of the term. And graduated in 51 with an arts degree, or an arts degree in philosophy.
Okay. Were you married before the war or during the war, and how did you meet your wife?
Some dark alley? No. No, she had your mother was a waitress in a little, she's a West Virginia girl, and came up to Columbus, lived with an older sister in Worthington, was working in preparation of going to school because he had to establish a residency. And I stopped there on my way home in the library at night to that little tea house like thing. She gave me a pencil with her phone number on it. That was a problem. I should have never accepted the pencil.
Instead of running like hell, you took it.
That's funny. A pencil with the phone number on it?
Yeah, he used to print them up, you know. Yeah.
Well, that was for women looking for
like a calling card.
Yeah. She was a very pretty thing and gave me her phone number. I don't know what else to do about it.
Anybody else? Call it.
Okay, did you attend the college on the GI Bill?
Yes, the GI Bill sent me to medical school. I had 4 years paid for by Uncle Sam.
Did it supply all your financial needs, or what would you say the percentage it supplied?
What, the GI Bill?
Yes.
Took care of everything. He gave me a pay all tuition. In medical school, that was a big factor.
And gave you enough for
and
living expenses?
Subsistence amount. I forget how much that was.
So how was the GI Bill money structured? Did they pay your fees and deduct from your fund allotment, or did they just give you checks for you to pay your fees and stuff?
No, I think they paid them directly to school. They billed the school.
Okay.
Because I don't remember receiving a check from them.
Where did you live while you were attending college?
Columbus.
And how did you support yourself other than the GI Bill?
GI Bill, I had a little one. By the time I was married, your mother worked all the time when I was in college. She worked at A&P Bakery. I think she worked at Timken Roller Grind before that.
Don't forget about Harvey Eagles.
The
hardware store.
Yeah, didn't you work in a hardware store?
I had a part-time job in a hardware store, yeah.
Okay.
That's where I cut my toe. And,
Well, that was up by around where I lived. You pointed that out.
Huh?
That was up around where I lived. You pointed that place was still there when I lived.
Yeah,
there. It used to be the hardware store.
What do they call that section? Clintonville.
Clintonville.
Okay. Was housing a problem after the war?
Huh?
Was housing availability a problem after the war, and how was it addressed by the university? In other words, dormitories or off-campus housing, et cetera.
We bought a house, really, on High Street, the one you fell out of, turning off High Street onto the, it fell out of the car.
But you made it.
Wait for me.
Evidently, pretty fast illegal U-turn.
And
of course, that was before they had seatbelts.
So you can get a good deal on a house.
Okay. Were most of your fellow students at the time veterans?
Yes, almost all. So the class, my medical class, was older because of that. So both of them had been in service there for a year. And,
considering the whole Ohio State University student population at the time, do you recall what was the most popular profession for veterans to study in college at Ohio State?
I don't know whether that much of it. I was in the College of Arts, and of course, in medical school. But they all seemed to hold. They were bulging at the seams almost in every department, I think. They had a lot of temporary housing, so a lot of temporary buildings. But I think the population of Ohio State doubled right after the war. It was there were 3,300 in my freshman class, and I think when I came back to war, that freshman class had been at least twice that.
So they were forced to build a lot of temporary classrooms and stuff. I know that was the way at the University of Florida was that way. Some of those temporary classrooms were still there in the 70s.
Everybody's going back. Well, you get back from the war and there weren't really jobs. And maybe a few of them left jobs and went back to. Most of them came back to no job. And what the hell? Go to school. It's a good deal. When somebody else was paying for it.
Were some of your professors also veterans?
Yeah. I had a philosophy professor was a veteran. He fell downstairs so many times he was always drunk coming to class. but he was the best damn logic teacher.
Helped to philosophize.
But he knew his business. Was kind of
he deliberately fell down.
Symbolic logic. He'd come to high school, come to school with a broken arm. I don't think you ever found him sober, really.
Florida had a famous professor like that, too. He's a writer. Harry Cruz is actually a sometime drinking buddy of mine. He was a character. I tell you what, he'd go into, that's another story. But anyway, was your university, Ohio State University, co-educational before the war, after, or both?
Both.
Okay, where did you do your internship?
Mercy Hospital in Toledo.
How long did your internship last?
1 year.
Do you recall the dates of your?
51.
Okay.
52 and 52.
Must have got a discount.
Was your pay adequate during that time?
No, you got about, I think interns, Mercy paid better than most. A lot of them paid absolutely nothing. For an intern, I think Mercy was $40, maybe $50 a month, something like that.
Okay, how'd you live at that time when doing your internship? I mean, did you work all the time? Was there time to go to ball games and recreation and stuff after work?
No, you didn't much time. You go to medical school, the most time I had, I worked at the hardware store. And of course, Kathleen worked all the time. She was still.
Work in school.
So we lived off her.
Okay. What was your first position after graduation, where and when?
After graduation, after internship?
Yes, sir.
I set up practice down here in Trilby. with Jack Trimley, a family classmate.
Do you remember the year?
51.
Good. All right, that pretty much ends the list of my question. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
No, that sounds pretty good.
All right, on behalf of the University of Florida Oral History Department, I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank you. You're welcome. That little pyramid up